From the 600 ESPN El Paso River Oaks Property Schoolyard Sports Studio, here's Steve Kaplowitz and Adrian Broaddus.
Oh, it's always great when our friends at X-1 get us started on the show today. Local band, friends of the program. I'm related to one of them. So yeah, I'm biased and I'm happy. There's nothing wrong with that. A lot to talk about on the show today. Big shout out to Alberto for stepping up and knocking out a Sports Center update when we needed it. Thank you, Alberto Urueta. He's all excited today. He's decked out in his FC Juarez stuff because two members of the FC Juarez femenil team will be in the house coming up here later in the show. What a show, by the way. We have TJ Hubbard. Busy day today on the Longhorn Distributing Hotline where all of our guests always appear. We've got TJ Hubbard on the hotline coming up here in about 15 minutes. And then at 5 o'clock, joining us on the Longhorn Distributing Hotline will be none other than Pete Zamora. That's right, Pete Zamora from the El Paso Chihuahuas, otherwise known as the Skip. So excited about that. Hey, speaking of Longhorn Distributing and our hotline, folks, for serious cleaning, you need the industrial-grade hot seat pressure washer. We're talking hot water, cold water, or mounted on a trailer. See the variety at Longhorn Distributing, 5516 East Paisano, with parking in the back. All of our guests always appear on the Longhorn Distributing hotline. So a good way to get us started. I'm not going to lie to you, folks. Last night I watched both basketball games. Stunned by both. Stunned how the Knicks survived off a gift from the Zebras. Look, I'll be the first one to admit it as a long-suffering Knicks fan. It's always nice to get a victory. When you get a little assist from the striped shirts, that's even nicer because they are lucky to win. They should be down one game to none right now to Indiana, not up one game to none. They had multiple calls go their way that were questionable calls at best. And part of the fun of being on air all these years is this. I have my teams, right? But I'll be the first to tell you when my teams get a big gift. And last night, they gift-wrapped a Christmas or Hanukkah gift early on and sent it right over to the Knicks because they did not deserve to come out on top the way they did. I thought the Indiana Pacers got the shaft. Nothing they could do. This is going to be a much tougher series than I anticipated. They played the Knicks tough right down to the wire and very easily could have stolen and should have stolen game one last night.
You know, the whole series, Steve, just book it right now. The Knicks are going to get the 50-50 calls. It's just going to be how it is. Who does the NBA want to come out of this series? It's not the Pacers. It's the Knicks. Who, if you have that series against Boston, which is probably going to happen for the Eastern Conference Finals, that's the series that you want for ratings, for excitement, for all the talk, all the everything else. So, you know what? 50-50 calls, all that kind of stuff. It's all going New York's way this entire series. I'm going to stick with six, although I realized from yesterday's game, New York's going to run with seven guys, and those seven guys will either help them or kill them. And wow. Miles McBride off the bench, I thought he was impactful despite not necessarily scoring a lot. And, as far as all the calls go, it'll go the Knicks' way.
Listen, if that's the case, why have they been so irrelevant the last 20-plus years? If everybody wants the Knicks to win so badly, why is it that they've basically been garbage all these years, even when it comes to the postseason?
Well, because the refs can't help you make baskets.
Ah, I got you. And you didn't have Jalen Brunson on your team like you have right now.
Who's, fifth game in a row scoring 40-plus? I mean, how could you not like this team? Separate the Knicks from this, right? Like, this is a team basketball group. This is a group right here that plays hard-nosed defensively. This is a team that reminds you of a team back in the 90s or early 2000s that's no true star, no true alpha. They're all playing for each other. That's why you like this group right here as far as if you're just a basketball fan or forget that, just a sports fan in general.
Listen, are you starting to see the group of people that Jalen Brunson is becoming part of right now with the going 40-plus all these games? Now, by the way, it was four straight. 40-plus. Not five
nice.
Yet.
No, that's
not
still
five
solid.
Yet, but four straight going 40-plus. And by the way, yes, we are talking about names like Jordan, because that's kind of where it starts to me, as you start to look at the very short list. Bernard King was on that list as well. There aren't many. There's only, you know, by the way, he is the first player in NBA history to have four consecutive 40-point, five-assist playoff games. How about that?
Yeah, it's, I mean, good numbers right there, man. It's a point guard who loves to initiate, but also will score, you know, on there. He's such a unique player, right? Because we see guards at that point guard spot kind of choose one or the other. The only guys across the NBA that you're going to see really tap into that scoring side of how they do it, you know, at the point guard spot, Jamal Murray, Kyrie Irving. Those are the guys right there. Look at Jrue Holiday playing for the best record, you know, the team with the best record in the NBA and the Celtics. Jrue Holiday is a defensive specialist right there. He has his knack. Jalen Brunson can kind of do everything. Now, if you want to pick at his defense and say that's not as strong as things, well, I agree, but he puts out a lot of effort, and I think that defense in the NBA, mm-hmm. it's like 75% effort and then 25% of the athleticism that you bring.
Yeah, I mean, look, he can. What he's doing right now is it really is crazy when you start to just think about the numbers. Look, Jerry West, Bernard King, Michael Jordan, Jalen Brunson. Like, it's a weird list. Look, we know, you know, Jalen Brunson is not on those levels, but I'll say this. The Knicks haven't had a scorer like him ever. I mean, even in Ewing's, even in the great days of Ewing, and Bernard was a terrific scorer in his own right, but, you know, Bernard was just a different type of ball player versus Jalen Brunson. This guy's electric. I think before this series started, they called him like the 15th best player still around in the postseason. I'm like, 15th? Are you serious? He's doing things for them that they just haven't had before, you know? I mean, he dominates a fourth quarter, can take over a game, is unstoppable, and yet, again, as I mentioned earlier, they should have lost last night. They had no business even winning that game. Unlike the Minnesota Timberwolves, who started fast, blew out Denver. By the time that game was halftime, it was over. It was done. The Nuggets just got destroyed by the T-Wolves, who now have a 2-0 lead going back to Minnesota. And I'm going to tell you something. They might sweep the Denver Nuggets right out of the playoffs when it's all said and done.
Man, I can't even believe that you're actually saying that sentence. Real quick, because I need the historical analysis from you, and this was brought up. I need a quick Knicks nugget from you. Bernard King, okay?
Yep, mid-80s.
Yes, mid-80s. He did, all right, help me out. Did he single-handedly beat the Celtics to go to the finals? Like, I know he didn't win the finals.
No,
but
they didn't. Bernard King never took a Knicks team to the finals. In fact, I think the only team he beat in the playoffs was the Detroit Pistons back in, like, 84, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
So, but Bernard played for the Knicks in the early to mid 80s. By the time Ewing was coming around, Bernard was already gone. But here's the greatest thing about Bernard King. I'm not going to lie to you. Okay, this is a true story. Bernard King used to tape his middle finger and his index finger together, and his ring finger and his pinky together. So he'd have these fingers taped up like this, and he would shoot and score like this. So when I was about 11 or 12 years old playing pickup and league basketball, I taped my fingers exactly like Bernard King, because I was like, well, if Bernard's scoring 40 with taped fingers, I'm going to do the same thing. So that's what I started doing. I started playing basketball, taping my fingers together just like Bernard, so I could try to be like him.
Okay, that is the stuff that I needed. That's the historical nuggets I needed right there. I had no clue. I got to look back on this one right here. And the one that I'm confusing is this right here. Game 7, I guess this is 1987 or 86.
Oh, yeah, they already had Ewing by then.
And, okay, so at this point with King, they go up against the Celtics. They lose to them, but it was just a great – I'm looking at it right here. Bernard King, what a series. So I'm seeing, like, historically speaking, where is Brunson right now? He might be kind of hovering outside the top five, maybe outside the top seven greatest Knicks of all time, and it just speaks to how much success he's having right now and how little success they've had in the 21st century.
First off, let me say this, okay? Brunson has only been with him 2 years.
Right.
You can't put him on the list of the greatest Knicks of all time after two seasons. I don't even care if he takes him to an NBA championship. Maybe he can, but I've always had a problem putting players on the greatest all-time list after two seasons, no matter what they do. It's kind of like Kevin Durant. Am I going to call Kevin Durant one of the greatest Golden State Warriors of all time because he showed up and they won a championship?
No.
Heck no. You know, he's not even going to be in the top, probably, however, let me, the top 10, top,
no.
I don't know.
I wouldn't associate him over there yet. And
no.
The Brunson side, it's the future, it's the family ties that he's got there. But yeah, I love this because I think everybody reacted way too quickly, Steve, and I just needed that from you. I needed to know where he stands right now. And it's not yet. He's not there yet, and it's okay. I think he can get there eventually down the line. But now it's way too early to say this. It's a premature take to say that he's already there among the greatest Knicks of all time.
Let me say this again about Bernard King, okay? Bernard King played for the Knicks for four seasons. 82 to 87. He missed some years with knee injuries, but he was a scoring machine with the Knicks. Like in 84, 85, which I think was Ewing's rookie year, Bernard King averaged 33 a game. He was a monster in those 4 years. So, got to realize, but you could also make a note that Bernard King was, you know, he played four seasons for Washington. He played three for the Nets. He played two for Golden State. Even played for Utah 1 year. He played all over the place.
Man, this looks like Derrick Rose, the 80s version of Derrick Rose right there. So just a guy who had all the pedigree, all the hype around him, and unfortunately because of injuries, just derailed his career. If he didn't suffer all the injuries right there, who would have known what Bernard King, maybe he would have been the greatest Knick of all time.
He would have. I mean, knee problems is what forced him to retire all time. If he doesn't early, I mean, he retired early because of the knee injury. Doesn't come out with a knee injury, Bernard is probably in the Hall of Fame.
I mean,
like, no doubt about it because of his contributions to the sport. Actually, he's in the Basketball Hall of Fame. He already got in as a player. So Bernard King is in the Hall of Fame. And I mean, look, I think he's 16th on the all-time NBA scoring list as of his retirement. That's Hall of Fame numbers,
man,
when you start to think about it.
That's really good stuff. I mean, I think that what Brunson's doing is historic. I want to see him do it and carry it through the semifinals and then obviously bring it to the Eastern Conference Finals here against the Celtics. And then for this Timberwolves series, man, I mean, look, it wasn't the greatest Ant game, but it didn't need to be. It was everybody else, and they just killed the Nuggets. That game wasn't even close.
Yeah,
I was
right.
Texting friends around halftime, and I was just thinking, what happened here? This is not even a series right here. The Timberwolves have come in with all the confidence and left Denver looking old, slow. And that's, you know, one of those things. Denver's the repeat champions. There's a lot of fatigue right there. They've gone through gauntlets themselves. I still have the utmost respect for them. I even hold out hope that they could come back in the series, but they're in an awful position, and I'd be pressing the panic button. Forget the pressing. I'd be hammering the panic button if I were a Nuggets fan right now.
Oh, there's no doubt. There is absolutely no doubt about it. So the Nuggets are in trouble. And Minnesota looks really, really confident and really good and dangerous. This is the dangerous team in the West right now. There is absolutely no doubt about it. So those games happened last night. Enjoyed watching them. We've got plenty of playoff talk to talk about. Great show today. We're with you till 6:30. We got tons to get to, but let's take the break. We've got Charlie with traffic. We're going to come back. We're going to talk a little UTEP softball. TJ Hubbard is going to join us on our Longhorn Distributing Hotline, where all of our guests always appear, right after this timeout, 600 ESPN El Paso. And we're back here on Sports Talk. I'll tell you what, such a busy weekend for UTEP. You know, while the track and field team get the opportunity to host the CUSA Championships for the first time in 7 years, Adrian, the UTEP softball team getting ready for their tournament run, and it's not too far from the Helen of Troy Field.
Yeah, exactly, Steve. People will be able to drive out to Las Cruces, root on the UTEP softball team during this run. And, hey, it's a historic run. We could talk about that, right? I mean, it's been 5 seasons since they've actually clinched the Conference USA tournament. And you know what? For T.J. Hubbard to have this kind of a run here for the softball program, I think they're going in the right direction here.
I'm with you. Head coach T.J. Hubbard joins us here on Sports Talk as we continue. First off, you just heard Adrian's lead-up coach. Congratulations on getting into the tournament. And again, for you, this is the first time since you arrived at UTEP that you have an opportunity to try to play for a conference championship.
Yeah, I mean, we're very proud of what we've been able to accomplish this season. And we're not surprised. We knew the level of talent we were bringing in and the kids that we had returning. We're not surprised, but we're definitely proud of where we're at.
And for you now, an opportunity to try to put a big exclamation mark on what has been a very positive season for you and the Miners. I mean, you look at your record, you're over 500 heading into this tournament with a 25-19 mark. But I'm sure for you, if you need any bulletin board material for your team, all you got to do is say, look, we're 11-13 in the conference. We didn't get a chance to have a top two, top three overall seed the way we should have. Now we got to show everybody that we belong.
Absolutely. And the one nice thing about this season, at least in league play, we were never swept. We at least beat everybody once, sometimes twice. And I feel like the matchups that we have kind of in front of us definitely play into our favor.
Coach, you've had a lot of players be recognized on all-conference lists. We'll start off with Asia Richard. She is the infielder who is on the first team. What does she mean to you all as not only one of your strongest players, but also as a leader?
Yeah, she's a fantastic individual, you know, great human being, superb softball athlete, and one of the kids that everyone looks up to and looks for in terms of performance and results. She's just a great kid, you know, wonderful kid to coach, loves the game, plays with a lot of passion, and definitely a kid from the last two seasons. I felt like she had a great sophomore year as well. A kid that we look for from an offensive standpoint to produce some runs for us.
Representing the Miners on the all-freshman team include Faith Aragon and Maddie Mendoza. What have those two meant to your team?
Well, Faith in the circle has meant a lot for us. I mean, she's been a kid that when some of the biggest opponents have arrived, either Helen or Troy or on the road, she's getting the ball. We have a ton of confidence in her. She's a kid that we want in the circle when the game's on the line. And then Maddie Mendoza, just from a defensive standpoint, has been, I think, one of the most spectacular shortstops in all the league. I could be biased, but I think she's one of the best shortstops in the league, and she just gives us a ton of energy. She gives that pitching staff a lot of confidence because they know she's going to cover a lot of ground and make some plays. Both those kids just bring a tremendous amount of confidence to our group and the coaching staff. We feel very excited, and when they're out there, we know we have our best kids out there.
All right, so now let's talk about snubs. I think that's a good topic. We could always get into that. Hallie Hogan joined us on the show not that long ago. She had a terrific season for you, Coach. She hit almost 300. She had 5 home runs, 23 RBIs. She slugged 532. She did not make any of the first, second, or third team all-conference USA teams that released. And again, thought she easily could have had an opportunity to be on that group.
Yeah, and I mean, every year, whether it's the preseason nominations or the postseason nominations, you're always kind of left scratching your head of why some of your kids are left off there. I think Hallie Hogan, Brianna Garcia, Lexi Morales, Autumn Scott, I mean, there's a handful of our kids that had really, really good numbers, did productive work both offensively and defensively, and were huge contributors for us for the season that we had, and I felt like at least should have been second or third team. Go ahead.
I'm with you on that one. And I think the thing with Richard is her numbers stick out. Because offensively, she led the team in every category. And when you're batting almost 400, look, the numbers speak for itself. But you had about 4 or 5 kids right below her that also had all-conference-type seasons for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I felt like we should have had at least 4. in some form or fashion on that list, whether it was first team, second team, or even more, you know, superlative awards. I thought we had a really, really good showing offensively and defensively. I mean, we turned the most double plays in the league, had three or four of some of the best infielders with the highest fielding percentages. So, again, kind of leaves you scratching your head. It's always a little bit of a gamble when it comes to that when coaches are voting. So if you ask me, I would say we'd probably need at least three more on that list.
For your first opponent, Coach, in Louisiana Tech tomorrow, 2:30 will be the first pitch. Can you give us a scouting report on the Bulldogs? What do they bring to the table?
You know, they have the best pitching staff in the league. I mean, overall have the best team ERA. They have three or four kids they can run out of the bullpen at you. Very versatile in the circle, which will make it difficult. And I think that's why it was such close games there in Ruston earlier in April. They can change the look really, really quickly from the pitching side. They play tremendous defense, so they're hard to score on. So we're going to have to do our work offensively to make sure that we're capitalizing in those situations with runners on base, runners in scoring position. They have three or four kids in that lineup that are fairly dangerous. I feel like our matchup, pitching-wise, can exploit some of those weaknesses that they do have. So I'm guessing it's going to be a pretty tight matchup, but I think we have, at least offensively, we have a little bit more we have more tools in the toolbox than they do. And I think from a pitching matchup standpoint, the kids that we have throwing at them will kind of keep them off. So they're tough. There's number three seed in the league for a reason. So it's not going to be an easy matchup, but I feel pretty strongly about our chances.
You blanked them in Ruston twice back last month, and I think that's what was so impressive. You beat them 1-0 Friday, and then you came back and in a doubleheader. First, you took care of them 4-0, and then lost the doubleheader 4-2. So, you know, you think about that, Coach. You gave up 4 runs in 3 games, and 2 of those games were shutouts. So that shows you right there what your pitching was able to do over the course of a 3-game set.
Yeah, and that's where I feel really confident. I feel like we match up really well, pitcher to batter, with them. And I feel like, you know, from our standpoint, I mean, you have to get through Lexi Morales, Asia Richard, Hallie Hogan, Ryan Crow, Kenna Collette, and on down the list. You might get a couple of those kids out, but you're not going to get all 9 of them out. So I feel like we have the upper hand in terms of the matchups, but it's going to be a battle.
Meanwhile, you go to Cruces, and I'm curious to get your thoughts on having the opportunity to play up the road with New Mexico State hosting. And, you know, you're in a good bracket because if you're able to get past Louisiana Tech, you get the 2-seed Western Kentucky as opposed to the 1-seed Liberty. So let's talk also about that as well. And again, as we mentioned, going to Cruces for this tournament.
Yeah, and I think regardless of what the number of the seed they are, us being able to have La Tech and Western teams that we've played just in the last 3 weeks, I think that's always an advantage. It's a lot easier to go back and recall maybe some of the things that they were doing strategy-wise or some of the things that they were trying to do from a defensive setup. It's a lot easier to play those teams that you're, you know, maybe 2 weeks out from as opposed to somebody that haven't played since week one. Matchup-wise for us, you know, getting past La Tech and then getting into Western Kentucky, that's a better setup for us than having to try to get through maybe a Jack State and then try to face a Liberty. So I like where we're at. I like where our seating's at. I feel like if we can take care of business, we're in a really good route, at least the route that's paved out right now. We're in a really good route to get to, you know, maybe that semifinal position with the teams that we have to face.
Coach, regardless of what happens here in the conference tournament, and just taking a step back of where you're at right now, and you just look at what this team has done this season. We talked a lot about this to start off the segment here, but it's a season of firsts, a lot of different firsts. Does this kind of give you the motivation and just kind of the encouragement moving forward that the philosophy that you're trying to implement here at UTEP is working?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I think it's, you know, several years of trying to, you know, kind of suffer through some shortcomings, but trying to stay with our beliefs, with our goals, with our values, and trying to do it the right way. you know, we all know it doesn't happen overnight in this day and age. It takes years and years to kind of build it up. And I think we've done it in a fashion that we can now sustain it. So it took us a little longer than what we had all would have liked to get here. But I think now that we're here, we know that we have a ton of kids coming back next year that are going to help us put us in the kind of the same position, same role. And now we can just start adding on top of it. So it was definitely a year of firsts. And I think it's just, you know, 3, 4, 5-plus years of these kids really, really grinding it out. I mean, you have Zaylee Calderon and Dallas Mendez, who've been here for 5 seasons, them just putting the hours and the time and the reps in to get here. And then that whole senior class, I mean, they've been through a lot, and they've been able to help us kind of pave this path this year. And all the COVID, you know, the COVID protocols and the COVID setbacks and all that, we're past that. We're in a good spot. I feel really, really good about the direction that we're going and happy that we were able to put it all together this season. I knew we were close last year. I knew we were really close last year. So it's nice to see us capitalize on it in 2024.
Coach, I know this. You've been through a lot, both on the field and off the field. So we wish you nothing but the best in Cruces this week. And as always, we appreciate you giving us a little time and joining us on the show today.
We appreciate you guys. Thank you so much.
He's TJ Hubbard, head coach of the UTEP Miners. We'll come back more in a moment, but first, right back to Adrian. He's standing by with this bottom of the hour SportsCenter update. Coach TJ Hubbard for joining us here on our Longhorn Distributing Hotline, which will stay busy at 5 o'clock when we get the opportunity to talk to the manager of El Paso Chihuahuas Baseball, Pete Zamora, for another conversation. First time we've had Skip in about 5 weeks. So excited about that as well. All right. In the meantime, we got a lot more in store for you. 505-6009. That is our telephone number, 505-6009. Get you right on in and through to the program. Don't forget our Mother's Day contest going on right now through our 600 ESPN El Paso free app, where if you've downloaded it, it's super easy to be a part of this contest. If not, download it today. Just enter in either 600 ESPN or KROD on the App Store, whether it's the Google Play Store or the iPhone Store the Apple Store, and you will be able to download our free app. And Adrian, that is step one into winning what will be an opportunity to go with us on Sunday, Mother's Day, and enjoy everything you could get in a suite. That's right, a suite for the Chihuahuas and the Albuquerque Isotopes.
When you download the app, all you have to do is open the app up, and you'll see a chat feature on the top right. There's a chat feature where you can chat in real time with us on the show. All you have to do is chat with us and let us know why you believe the mother in your life, and you should be out there and celebrating for Mother's Day. This is happening this weekend with us. All you have to do is chat with us on our free mobile app. Give us the reasons why the mother in your family should do this. So this could be your wife, this could be your sister, this could be a cousin, an aunt, your own mom. It could be the mother in your life that you want to take out to the ballpark and enjoy the fun with us.
That's right. It's a great opportunity on Mother's Day. We'll gather up everybody, and somebody's winning. Not just for you and for the winner, but how about 4 people? That's right. 4 people. We're talking to go to the ballpark with us. We'll have it catered. And we just want you to be our guests. It's first time we've had the opportunity to host all of you in a suite, and we're excited about that chance here this Sunday.
Yeah, we've already got great submissions so far, so appreciate some of the submissions, and we need more. So we hope today to get some other ones and other people who are looking for something to do this weekend for Mother's Day weekend.
That's right. So again, if you want to do that, all you got to do is communicate with us on our 600 ESPN El Paso app. It is the only way to enter this contest. 37 now past the hour as we continue here on the show. You mentioned some of the games going on. Yeah, it is a busy day in both the NHL as well as the NBA for playoffs. And, you know, you look at the NBA, Cavs Celtics game 1, Mavs Thunder game 1. What's going to be a better series in your opinion?
Oh, it's 100% the latter. The Mavs Thunder, this one could go to seven. I think you flip a coin and you just pick the winner there. You know, for all the Oklahoma City Thunder fans that have been waiting patiently for their team to start getting to the point where they could be a contender again, well, this is the time. I mean, they haven't really had this kind of a run or this kind of a team since the likes of KD, Russ, and James Harden. Remember, post-Harden and KD with Oklahoma City, they still tried to manage a playoff team around Russell Westbrook, and it just never materialized into any sort of a real contender. Well, they're the top seed here going into the Mavs series, and I think a lot of our listeners or people out there who might be NBA casuals haven't necessarily watched OKC extensively, so I think they'll be pleasantly surprised when they get a chance to watch this young bunch.
You're right. Edwards and how he has now arrived. You know, you think about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He's been here for a while, but maybe this is his opportunity to really make a name for himself on the big stage.
Right. He was the guy who led Team Canada. I keep bringing up FIBA and I keep bringing up world play right now, but he led Team Canada all the way to the finals this past summer, and he really leveled up himself. So I feel like he's the Canadian superstar, kind of like Steve Nash was, a decade plus ago. And I feel like SGA is here. He's arrived. Now, it's about his supporting cast. It's about J-Dub. I'm talking about Jalen Williams. I'm also talking about Chet Holmgren. Those two really need to be key in this series. It's going to be Lu Dort guarding Luka Doncic all the way through, so that should be a great matchup too. And I like OKC's bench. They've got supporting cast members like rookie Kayson Wallace, who's come on to the scene nicely for the Thunder. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to this series back and forth.
I know we talked about it briefly, but to you, do you almost feel like the Cavs just beating Orlando, that's their big postseason win that they should just be proud of because it's going to end soon against Boston?
Right, and just trying to keep this team intact for the offseason, that's another part of this because their eventual exit against the Celtics will come with a little bit of turnover of the offseason. You don't know what's going to happen with Donovan Mitchell. Does he opt into his contract with Cleveland? Does he opt out so then he could be traded or maybe picked up in free, an unrestricted free agent? Should be interesting there, but yeah, I feel like this is just prolonging the inevitable, which will be the exit of the Cavs here in the playoffs. And no knock to the Cavs too much. I like Mobley, I like some of their young pieces, but they're just not ready to be a contender just yet.
All right, again, that's the doubleheader of basketball tonight. We have hockey as well, pucks tonight, Rangers Carolina, game two of that series with the Rangers leading 1-0, and then the Stars game one of their series with the Avalanche, that should be a terrific battle between those two teams. So much history between the Avalanche and the Stars, and they'll hook up in the late game, 7:30 tonight. That's on ESPN.
You'd real quick on the Avalanche, you talk about a team who rose a banner not too long ago, and now they're going up against a team like the Stars who finally got over the hump and beat the Golden Knights, so yeah. I can't wait for this series. Should be really exciting. By the way, Colorado coming into this one rested after just a 5-game series against the Jets.
Could be the best series really in the second round when you start to look at these two teams and how they match up.
Yeah, I agree completely there.
20 in front of 5. We've got plenty more coming up. 6 o'clock's the cutoff time. We're going to go a half hour earlier than usual because the Chihuahuas have a day game tomorrow, and they always go a little early the night before a day game. So we'll do that as well. Stay with us. Sports Talk continues. 600 ESPN El Paso. Once again, by the manager of your El Paso Chihuahuas, Pete Zamora, for another conversation as the Chihuahuas get ready for the second half of a 12-game homestand, welcoming the Isotopes here a little more than an hour from now at Southwest University Park. Skip, welcome back to the program, and I'll tell you what, you don't get too many opportunities to enjoy back-to-back homestands during the regular season. This, however, one of those rare opportunities.
Oh, absolutely. And it's very nice to be back at the friendly confines after spending a week in Tacoma in 40-degree weather with rain coming down on us for 6 straight games. So to be back in El Paso and to be back at Southwest University, we're happy to be here.
And I know for you, a series against a team in the Isotopes who are below you in the standings, they've lost 3 in a row. So you've got an opportunity to get yourself right back in the hunt in that Eastern Division of the PCL since you're just a few games back of Round Rock and getting right there near the top.
Yeah, I mean, we like I said, I think it's a cyclical game, obviously. Right now we just haven't got our hitting and pitching dialed in together. But we're doing the little things that that will make us a really good ball team coming forward. We are playing tremendous defense as well. As we're, I think, one or two in the league, we're holding runners really well. We're doing the right things on the field. We're just waiting for, like I said, the pitching and hitting to click at the same time. We've had moments here and there, but like you said, having Albuquerque come in, we're familiar with them. We've had success against them, so we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, I don't blame you. And once again, as we've seen it all season long, when things do come together, not only are you winning games, but you're starting to really put up a lot of runs on the board. So it seems like all of a sudden when it becomes contagious and you start to get a couple of guys really getting on a run, it can just extend from there.
Absolutely, and we see the next 12 games as a possible heater for us, where we can put together an 8-9 game win stretch there. Graham Pauly and Eggy Rosario just came down from San Diego, so obviously that's going to help us in the middle of the order. And like I said, we got Jackson Wolf and Nolan Watts, and you got some pitchers that are starting to get their sea legs underneath them. So, positively thinking and looking ahead, I see some good things.
Skip, let's talk about some of the guys that have been producing for you all season long. Clay Dungan's having a terrific season. He's batting over 270. He's got four home runs. He's leading the team with 34 runs batted in. And then also Nate Mondow's. Mondow's doing great, too. Another guy that's got four home runs and has been really, picking up the slack at that first base spot for you.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fantastic job by our scouting, our pro scouting director, bringing people in that, we feel are like Padre guys. And I feel like Clay Dungan and Steele out of the AAA Rule 5. We just picked him up right from Kansas City, and he's been nothing but electric for us, hitting homers, driving in 34 runs from second base, and leading off and just playing every day. He's got a little sore shoulder right now that we're going to be very, very precautious. It's nothing serious, but we're going to give him, a 5-7 day blow. But he's been outstanding. And Nate Mondu is as professional hitter as they get. Been around a while, knows the game, knows pitchers, knows what he's doing. And like I said, it's a very comfortable at bat and consistent approach for him at the plate.
Another group I really want to highlight, because I think if you look at the two of them together, they've been terrific in the outfield for you, and that's Tim LeCastro and also Cal Mitchell.
Tim LeCastro is probably the heartbeat of this team. For a guy that's 31, plays like he's 21. I think it's almost a 50% on base percentage. It's the guy that came late to spring training. He got, like I said, had to get ready. So first couple weeks here, he wasn't playing too much, but he's really put himself in this lineup as a huge part, and he's just a great guy on and off, and I can see why other teams loved him and why he's been to the big leagues. For Cal Mitchell, he's just a calm, cool, collected kid, goes about his business, hits the ball hard, and likes to work. So, yeah, like I said, the pro scouting director, Pete DeYoung, has done a fantastic job bringing in the right kids here.
I'm looking at San Diego, and I see how Campy's been playing. He's been as steady so far as he was with the Chihuahuas the last few seasons. He's got 22 RBIs. He's batting 274. He's been handling his big league role terrific. And then I see a vet like Brett Sullivan, who's been up and down the last couple of years. You know what he brings to the table at AAA. He's a 300 hitter. He's got power, can drive in runs, doesn't strike out a lot. Terrific defensive catcher, can handle a staff. Yet it's so difficult, isn't it, Skip, to have a guy like Sullivan stay in the bigs and become that guy that could be that number two catcher behind Campy, but be able to just, deliver time and time like he has here in El Paso.
He's done nothing here to tell me he's not a big leaguer, and I think he knows that in his head, but he doesn't act like it. As coming from my seat in the manager spot, I'm very, very blessed to have a man like Sully in here. Like I said, zero ego, probably understands that he is a big league hitter and a big league catcher, but at this time, he is the sixth man, so to speak, behind Campy, and he needs to play, and he's playing every day, and he's playing very well. So, like I said, very blessed to have the kind of person that Sully is to be able to handle this situation. And if anything were to happen in San Diego, he'd be more than ready to go.
Donovan Solano just got called back up to the big club. He's somebody that's got a lot of big league experience. I know he only played 12 games for you, but what kind of an impression did he make?
First of all, I tell you what, I've seen a lot of approaches, you know, in the batter's box. This one's one of the best I've seen. Obviously, the 10 years is, you can see why he's been there 10 years. This is a guy that got to the big leagues at 27. He's still there at 37. It's just an overall line drive approach, gap to gap, comes to work every day, did all the work, didn't assume anything, acted like he was, you know, one of the guys, and he was a tremendous help for the younger guys, the tier show analysis and the people that haven't been there yet. And so they could see how a major leaguer goes about his business before and after, and obviously during the game.
Meanwhile, today is the 8th anniversary to the day of Bartolo Colon's first and only home run as a big leaguer. Did it with the Mets, did it in San Diego. I'm sure you remember that moment like it was yesterday, but when I was looking at the highlight this morning and I saw who was rounding third and heading home right before Colon was able to get home on probably the slowest trot in the history of baseball, who was it, Skip, but none other than Kevin Plawecki?
Yeah, you know, couldn't happen to a better guy. I know Colon and Bart's going to get all the love, but you know, we cherish Kevin Plawecki around here. Talk about a leader. Talk about the guy that's been there. Just always stay steady, never high, never low. So anytime I get to see a Bart highlight or an anniversary and OKP's running around with him, it's a good thing.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We're talking to Pete Zamora right now for our chat as the Chihuahuas get ready to host the Isotopes here coming up at 6:35. Hags will get us rolling at 6:30 on the pregame show. Now, you touched on the pitching earlier. I think it's important to note that you've had some guys that have been, you know, right there and have thrown well for you. In fact, we always talk about the PCL and how you really have to talk about, you know, ERAs not being a true indicator because of altitude and how the balls fly out. And I think a great example of that, Skip, is Matt Waldron, because when he was here, his numbers were never good. But he goes up to San Diego, makes an impact, sticks in the rotation. And then I see guys like Nolan Watson, who's 4-1 so far this year and has given you some good production out of the gate and kept the ball in the yard for the most part, along with Jackson Wolf. And I'm thinking, you know what? Those are guys that, if San Diego needs them, could come up in a pinch and help them out with a start.
Absolutely. I mean, we talk about it in spring training before we got out here. There's certain measurables that we have that have nothing to do with ERA, and we know about the stadium. So there's certain measurables that have nothing to do with the stadium that you have control over. One of those measurables is we don't want to walk the guy in front of the cheap home run on a windy day in Albuquerque. We don't want to make errors. We don't want to throw the ball away. There's certain things that we can control minus the stadium that we judge these guys on, and they know what that is. Certain things like strikeout to walk ratio, or like you said, keeping the ball in the park, not walking the guys before that, not pitching, you know, behind in the count. Those are certain measurables we can measure that, like a Waldron who throws it over the plate, knowing that if we send this guy to Petco Park, he has the intangibles of throwing the ball over the plate consistently. And, you know, that stadium will proved to be a little bit easier to pitch in than maybe this one.
What'd you see from Randy Vasquez as he gets his opportunity now to try and stay in that Padres rotation when he was here with you in the Chihuahuas?
It's swing and miss stuff. He's got an elite slider. He's got a fastball that plays mid to upper 90s, and he has the stuff to get swing and miss at the big league level, and it's the consistency. So he's going to have to learn on the run a little bit as he's starting tonight in Wrigley Field, but he is still young, but the stuff is obviously there. And just like any young arm, it's the consistency.
I'll tell you what, another guy that's up in the bullpen right now with the Padres is Jeremiah Estrada. He only pitched in 9 games for you, actually 8 games, but what an impression he made. I love the fact that he struck out 20 guys and only walked 3 in 8 2/3 here in El Paso.
Just dominant. Took advantage of an opportunity to shut the games down here, was sent down after the pods got back from Korea, and hey, head up, shoulders back, gets on the mound and throws it over the plate and says, my stuff's better than yours. Has an elite fastball, has an elite metric to his fastball, developed a really good split changeup that he's kind of mastered to get the left-handers out, and he's taking it from them. Pitched last night in a bind and got a big strikeout versus a left-hand hitter, so he's riding some high confidence, and though he doesn't show it with any sort of attitude or ego on the mound, very confident in himself and in himself. So it's not a whole lot of surprise to Scotty Mitchell and myself. This guy has absolutely dominated his nine outings here.
Another teammate of his and somebody that's also been really good for you in the bullpen is Lake Bacher. 28 years old. Is this like a classic Padres draft pick? Fifth round guy 8 years ago out of Wisconsin Whitewater, spends a couple of years in San Antonio, and really in his opportunities has been very effective for you in the bullpen.
Oh, just a great kid. I mean, this is my ninth season with the Padres. He's only one behind with eight, so I've known him a long time. Like I said, tough kid, played football, was actually the starting punter on the football team. Shows up every day, real in the work, and there's never a question whether or not he's in his intent and ready to go when he's on a mound. He's been through a lot. He's been through, Tommy John surgery. He's been back and forth through, every level here in this organization. We love him. We respect him. And he's now, just became a father. So he is doing everything he can to help his family and to help this team win. And it's very cool to watch.
Skip, I know Jay Groom is on the IL right now. He's only had a chance to pitch in three games. Yet, as crazy as it sounds, Jay Groom is only 25 years of age. He's still so young. What can you tell us about his rehab and when we can start to see him back on the mound for the Chihuahuas?
I haven't seen Jay obviously in a few weeks, as he was sent back to Peoria to get some more one-on-one work and to some more detailed stuff. I hear it's going well. I haven't heard any stories of anything going wrong. Like I said, he's just got to get to a point where he feels comfortable and he feels healthy enough to get back on that mound. Obviously, when he went off the mound, it was a little shoulder issue, but like I said, I haven't heard anything as in anything nasty or dangerous. I think, precaution, but in Arizona, it's easier to, like I said, to get a little bit more one-on-one and to get him right. Fantastic kid, works his butt off, keeps his mouth shut, and goes about his business. So we're looking for him to get back as soon as possible.
Before I wrap things up with you, I want to close with this. We have the pitch clock here in AAA. They started it years ago. It's basically sped up the games and made the games, for us something that we're used to after all these years. Why do you think, Skip, that in AAA, pitchers and batters have just gotten so used to the pitch clock, it's not a big deal, but yet in the big league level, it's still something that's causing some controversy, especially earlier in the season?
Well, the biggest thing, and we were talking about the other day, was the fact that I don't even talk to umpires anymore. The majority of my time without the ABS was, questioning calls, balls and strikes, dealing with players not liking calls. You just don't deal with it anymore because the computer calls it all. I'm an old school guy. I like the feeling of having a human being back there, but I do like the challenge system we use on the weekends where we can challenge a call and get the three challenges. If we get them wrong, we lose them. I like that way better than the first three, which is all computer. I couldn't tell you why it hasn't gotten there sooner. Like I said, I prefer the challenge system with the ability to question an umpire's call. And I think that's about as much as I'll say on the matter, but I don't want to talk for the guys up in the big leagues and how that situation's going on up there.
Do you feel like for the most part, ABS gets it right when you've seen the strike zone that you don't even have to challenge anymore because you can't, because it's all by computers? Has the system worked well enough where pitchers and hitters for the most part feel like when they get certain corners and certain parts of the plate, they know exactly what it's going to be every time?
I think for the most part, the high percentages, it does get it right, and we like it. You go to certain stadiums, and maybe the measurements are off a little bit, the calibrations are off, so you got to get used to it for that certain week that you're in a certain stadium. But other than that, the game just runs a little bit faster. Like I said, there's not a lot of arguments. It is what it is. You make the call, and the game just seems to run a little smoother for us.
Sounds terrific. Hey, Pete, listen, really enjoyed the conversation as always. Great stuff, and look forward to the next time we get to chat here on the program.
Anytime. Appreciate it, guys.
That's, again, Chihuahua skipper Pete Zamora joining us here as we continue on Sports Talk. We'll take a timeout, come back. Plenty more in store right here. It's 600 ESPN El Paso. Carolina 1-0 in this best of seven series. So things getting a little heated right now at the Garden to start things off.
Yeah, I would anticipate this for a pivotal game two. Let's see what happens here. Carolina does not want to go down 0-2.
Nope. I'll tell you something else. The Rangers don't want to lose their goalie either. That is definitely something that they don't want to have happen. So Igor Shesterkin is the guy that stays in net for the Rangers and has been their guy. So if you've got a situation where your goalie gets upended and potentially lands awkwardly and then injures himself and you have a player taking him out, that could completely change the complexion of a series.
Yeah, don't like dirty play either, man. So, yeah, definitely going to keep an eye on this one.
Yeah, that's true. All right. Esteban is not a hockey fan. Hockey in climates where lakes and ponds never freeze over just sounds unseemly. How do kids growing up even take up the sport? Well, like here in El Paso, they take up the sport because there's a good youth program going on right now over at the event center next to the Coliseum that, the El Paso Hockey Association has been running for years. And in Canada, where it does freeze, players, you have kids playing hockey before they play any other sport. That is the national sport of Canada.
Hey, man, there's plenty of hockey fans out there. It doesn't matter if you're in the desert. Doesn't matter if you're in the freezing cold. There's a lot of hockey fans out here in America.
I know. Esteban's just not a big hockey fan.
Right.
That's just what it comes down to. But, hey, man, to each their own. It's the best way to put it. Let's get right back to the phones as we continue. 505-6009. Unfortunately, Cade McConnell was not able to join us today. He is focused on his finals this week. That is very important, but that doesn't mean that another member of the McConnell family can't call into the show instead. How about his dad, Sean McConnell, who chimes in right now, 36 past, as we continue on Sports Talk. Hey, Sean, thanks for getting in. How are you?
Absolutely. I'm doing well, guys. Thank you. Cade's extremely busy this week, and I know he's bummed out about not getting in there, but I just wanted to take a second to call you guys and thank you guys on air for everything that you've done for Cade prior to his internship, during his internship. We talk about it all the time. You have listeners out here in California. We're big fans. We appreciate everything that's gone on, and I want to be able to publicly thank you guys for that, as well as all your listeners that have tweeted in and called in and said such wonderful things about Cade. As a father, that means the world to me, and I can't tell you how thankful I am for you guys doing all that, and it's been a really fun ride, and I hope that there's some times that you guys get to hook up again and keep going on it and expand on all the stuff that you guys went through on his evaluation and things like that. So I hope that this isn't over, but I just wanted to take a moment to say thank you.
Oh, it's not over. In fact, you know what? Regardless of what happens this football season, some of our listeners are ready to see him replace Adrian and replace me. So as far as we're concerned, he might have a very good future in broadcasting no matter what happens on the football field.
Well, and he, it's been a passion of his. I mean, football is a passion. It truly is his love, and right there with that is broadcasting, and you guys have given them that opportunity to start the, plant the seeds and to start the growth in that world, and it's meant the world to him, and it's been one of those things where you can't replace that, and you can't write a better script for his first couple years here at UTEP, and hopefully it will get bigger and better in the athletic world and as well as in the broadcast world.
Sean, it's Adrian back here. This is graduation week. What's on the agenda for the McConnell family coming to El Paso?
That's a great question. I'm so excited for it. Bo just made the drive home from Utah yesterday. It was a little over 10 hours, but he's back home now. So the three of us will be getting on a plane Friday morning, and we'll head out. We're going to catch a Chihuahuas game. You know what I'm talking about. And we're going to celebrate him on graduation for Saturday and go out to a nice dinner and then hang around with him most of the day on Sunday for Mother's Day. So we'll all be together as a family. So it doesn't get more special than that right there.
Oh, it's fantastic. I'm happy for you guys. The graduation's going to be special. It's going to be emotional, I'm sure, for everybody involved. And, again, then he'll have his degree, and then he just gets the opportunity of hanging around and competing for a job and going to school for his master's. Not a bad thing at all.
not a bad thing at all. And he's up for that challenge. It, you know, like I said, it's something that means everything to him. So he is laser focused on all of that. You know, for Cade, he was a 2020 graduate in high school. So in California, he got his graduation taken away due to the pandemic. So he's never walked. He's never been a part of that. So this is a big thing for him. It's obviously even bigger for his mom. She is definitely excited for this because this is the first time that she's going to get to be a part of that with Cade. So it's a big deal in that sense for this family as well.
Well, we appreciate you giving us a chance to call in a little bit. We're excited about you coming back to town for the weekend as well, and hopefully we'll get a chance to run into you while you're here.
Sounds good. Steve, Adrian, thank you so much. You guys have a great day. Appreciate the call, and again, thanks to all your listeners and everybody for the great things they've always said.
Well, we appreciate you, Sean. Cade made it easy for us, and again, thank you. Adrian, I'm just excited to know, thanks to Sean's call, that we have some good listeners out in California these last few months.
Yeah, we got to check out the app metrics in the future and see all our listenership grow in California and maybe a little Utah, because you heard that Bo is out there as well, his brother. This actually might be the first weekend we might get a chance to meet Bo, so that'll be cool too.
I'm taking some summer vacation too, and I know Cade's going to be around. So, Adrian, you might have a nice opportunity to have a built-in guest co-host for you this summer for a little while.
Yeah. And maybe I won't even be around too, so he might just take the reins himself. So
there you go.
Yeah, I think we'll be all our listeners will be hearing a lot from Cade McConnell here in the future.
I agree with that completely. 20 in front of 6. We'll come back. We'll wrap things up. We'll get you ready out to the ballpark and say hello to Tim Haggerty and keep things moving here on Sports Talk. It's all coming up. 600 ESPN El Paso. You running down our final segment here on Sports Talk. Our final countdown. As we get the opportunity to get you ready to go out to the ballpark. But first, folks, we love our friends at Palo Verde Homes. So many reasons why. I mean, first off, there's a lot of love in every home that they build. They're one of America's top 200 builders for 10 years running. And I'll tell you what, if you're looking for different types of home elevations, Spanish, Tuscan, contemporary, and then even the farmhouse elevation, which is everybody's favorite type of elevation, they've got them out at Palo Verde Homes. In fact, you also can get that home buyer's warranty that earned them a Lifetime Achievement Award. Love that. Adrian, it just goes to show that if you're in the market right now for a new home, there's only one home that we're going to tell you to go out and get, and that's a Palo Verde home.
You know, we gas them up all the time, Steve, but rightfully so. There's a reason they've been voted the eight different times Builder of the Year by the City Magazine and El Paso Times. They're also second place for many different years in the El Paso Inc. as well. Hey, I love Palo Verde Homes because it's not just the west side. It's not just the east side. It's also northeast part of El Paso, Horizon. You'll even find Palo Verde Homes all the way out in Socorro. So check them out online today, paloverdehome.com.
God, I love the way you roll your R's. You're so good. You're a natural. You are just a natural.
Thank you to my mom.
Yes, thank you, Mom. Just in time for Mother's Day. Hey, let's say hello to Tim Haggerty, voice of your El Paso Chihuahuas, who has been in El Paso now, starting his second week. Hags, it's that rare opportunity for you to call a pair of homestands on back-to-back weeks. Just doesn't happen very often. In fact, this might be the only time it happens during the season.
Yeah, this is the only time this season. Albuquerque just had this the previous 2 weeks where, 12 home games in a 13-day span. And I know that was nice for the players. A Monday in which they're not flying somewhere. Had a chance to rest the bodies here. So, you know, I also feel good about the Chihuahuas in this series. In the last few days, the Chihuahuas have gotten Eggy Rosario from San Diego and Graham Pauly from San Diego, two major leaguers. And tonight they're taking on an Albuquerque team that has just 9 wins this year. They're really struggling. And Steve, batters 1 through 9 for the Chihuahuas tonight, all 9 of them have played in the major leagues before.
That's a great stat in itself. I love that. And once again, shows you just the kind of value that really they bring to the table. By the way, in case you're wondering also, I guess the longest road trip for you and this team will be in July. It's All-Star Weekend, but really from the 8th all the way to the 27th. There's only three home games. Everything else will be either road trip or All-Star break. But you know what? At least you get a couple of days off during that time.
Yeah, exactly. And it's interesting how the schedule works this year. There is just that quick three-game series in the time frame that you described here versus Sugar Land right after the All-Star break. You know, there's various things that Major League Baseball considers when putting together these schedules. Sometimes you have those blocks of home games, other times a lot more on the road.